In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. On this, the second Sunday before the Nativity, the Church remembers the holy forefathers of Christ, the great figures of the Old Testament, the patriarchs and prophets and righteous faithful who prepared the world, through the leaven of the people of Israel, prepared the world for the coming of the Holy One of God, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, the eternal Son and Word of God, incarnate. And actually in the hymns at Vespers and at Matins, last night and this morning, we sang of the pure fruit, the noble fruit of all their efforts, of all those centuries of God working with his people and working with Israel, that the fruit of all that, the pure and noble fruit of all that, is the most holy Theotokos, ever Virgin Mary, that she is the harvest of Old Testament righteousness, the forefathers having prepared the soil of human hearts for her birth, and then of course for her bringing the Lord to us humanly. And all that transpired under the Old Covenant was to lead to her birth, she who would give birth to God in the flesh, she who would be the Ark, the new Holy of Holies, the temple not made with hands. The forefathers remind us, brothers and sisters, of the centuries upon centuries of preparation required under the Old Covenant to lead us to the new. So theirs is an example of patience with God's plan that is directed towards us. When will Christ return again, people ask? How long is it? It's a long time now. As we hear from the Epistle to Galatians on Christmas morning, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time. We are in this time of preparing, of producing the children of God in the new covenant. The Lord will return again in the next fullness of time. What did we hear from this morning's epistle to the Colossians? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall ye appear with him in glory. As St. Peter said in his second epistle, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to return, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So now, brothers and sisters, is the time for repentance. The Lord is postponing his return to give our generations more time for repentance as our preparation for the Lord's return or for our return to the Lord. But what can we say of the forefathers, particularly the prophets? St. James says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So the prophets, the forefathers themselves are examples of suffering, affliction, and of patience. The prophets spoke the word of God. They brought the word of God to the people. And often the people didn't want to hear that word. The people didn't want that word. They rejected their word and killed the messenger more often than not. We remember Elijah hiding in the mountain in fear for his life, and so many of the other prophets slain. as we hear our Lord himself lament, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and ye would not. The Lord knows God sent these prophets, sent these messengers ahead of his coming to prepare the people. So often that the word was rejected. The word of the prophets is a word that they did not want to hear. And indeed, the word of the prophets was often a word of rebuke and of correction. Of rebuke and correction to the people of God. No one likes to be corrected. No one likes to be corrected, especially when they are enjoying their sin. The world doesn't like to be corrected. The world increasingly sees Christianity as a rebuke and correction on sinful behavior. And I suppose inevitably it is. But we don't like it either. We don't like it when parents correct us. We don't like it when teachers correct us. We don't like it when bosses correct us. We don't like it when our spouses correct us. We don't like it when clergy correct us. And just like Israel, we don't like it when God corrects us. Even when God himself corrects us, we don't like it. Brothers and sisters, a true sign of real humility, is being able to receive correction. A true sign of real humility is being able to receive correction from whatever the source, believing that that correction could be helpful to us, good for us, even a word from God intermediated through someone else. That bowing and kissing and bowing our heads and acting humble the way the church teaches us is not wrong. It's not a bad thing. It's good. It's good to act humble. But can we take correction? Can we stand it? That's when we know the seed of humility is in us. The prophets corrected proud Israel, and for that they suffered and were killed. And finally, beyond all the words of the prophets, the prophet of prophets, the very word of God, appeared in the fullness of time, and he would be rejected as well. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as has received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Finally, brothers and sisters, the sermon on the forefathers is seen above us here on the dome, on our dome. Christ upheld by the angelic powers as the Lord of hosts, resting on the foundation of the holy prophets, the great figures of the old covenant. The word of the prophets, which prepared for the coming of the word of God in the flesh, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he invites us today to join him in his great banquet, the image of heavenly joy, is a banquet, is eating, is sitting at the Lord's table, which is anticipated by being at the Lord's table at every divine liturgy. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God, the scripture says. And indeed, may it be so for each and every one of us. Through the prayers of the holy forefathers of Christ, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.